Well, we have competition, so I'm going to project this morning. This is our eighth Easter, and by far, this is the largest crowd we've ever had. Most Easters, our members go to church with their families. I guess it turned around this time. Families came to church with you. Now, the sermon title is The Death of Death. That sounds very morbid, doesn't it? But actually, that's one of the things that we most fear, isn't it, death? But what greater thing could there be than the death of that thing called death? Well, in this last century, we've lived through a very bloody time, haven't we? Nowadays, we can press a button or do some keystrokes on a computer and annihilate people all over the world. Killing is now easy. It's very easy. In fact, in his talk last Saturday, Tom Shirk, hi Tom back there, told us about all the weapons of warfare, and he really demonstrated some military technology. Tom said he could only go so far in telling us what the military technology could do, because if he said any more, he'd have to shoot us. And being an NRA weapons instructor, we paid close attention to what he had to say. We all know how to kill, but, you know, we really don't know how to die. People say that there's nothing more certain than death and taxes. Well, that's not really true, because you can not pay your taxes, go to jail, but you're still going to die sometime. But if we can't talk about death on Easter, what else can we talk about it? Because on this day, one man slipped through the gates of death and defeated it and came back to talk about it. Death could not hold him. Jesus has destroyed and abolished death for those who believe in him. What a great word. That word abolished. It means, in the dictionary, to do away with, to annul, to destroy completely. Abolished death. Well, death to us doesn't seem to have been abolished, because we all die. We all get sick. Cemeteries fill up, new ones open up, crematoriums are working all the time. There's no end of funeral homes and mortuaries and weeping spouses and wakes, and there's no end of cancer and heart attacks, sudden accidents, tragedies such as the Malaysian Airlines and the terrible tragedy of the Korean ferry boat. We remember the tragedies of Columbine and Oklahoma City on this day. We remember those bombings, and we remember the birth of Adolf Hitler. I was also born this day. To some, a tragedy. Oh, not too many here. Well, we'll just pick up the Denver Post and read the obituary section over the last few weeks. Last week we had Jack Hill. The week or so before that we had Tom Carmichael, one of our own. And death continues. But is it really gone? Death we have aplenty, but what is it about the resurrection? What does it have to do with us? Is it really true that we will all die? Well, first there was Adam, then there was sin, and then there was death. Before Adam and Eve defied God, there was no death. Life was wonderful. It was fantastic. How certain are you about your death? Why do you buy life insurance? It should be called death insurance, shouldn't it? When you're going to die, you don't collect when you die. Somebody else collects. So it's not really life insurance. But life insurance is based upon one great theological truth, and that is that death reigns. Well, on your death certificate, it doesn't say sin is the cause of death. It says something else. It says cancer or heart disease or natural causes or whatever. In what sense did Christ destroy death? He did destroy death. In what sense? It said in Matthew and John 11, whoever believes in me will never die. Whoever believes in me will never die. Death for a Christian is temporary. It's all part of life. It's part of that bridging the gap between life and death, that gap builder between life and death. You know, the Pope is called in Latin the Pontifex Maximus. That means a bridge builder. And that's what we are. As we're all saints, and we build bridges between here and there. That's our job. I have a good friend of mine whose premise of life is based upon thirds. One third, two thirds, and three thirds. Looking around here, most of us are in the third third. There are a few in the first third, second third, second third, third third. But I say to him, Tom, you know who I'm talking about. I say to him, what about the fourth third? There is a fourth third. And you know what that is? It is infinity. It is forever. That is the fourth third. Well, let's look at the facts surrounding Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Jesus died. He was buried. And the women wept. It was sadness. And they didn't know. They thought the body was stolen from the grave. Our only hope was found on what happened on Easter Sunday morning. He is alive. That's what the choir is saying. He is alive. There's an empty tomb in the cemetery. It's the tomb of Christ. This is God's good news. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. He is the Lord of life, a King immortal and eternal. And he gives us that. He gives us that. He yanked the keys of hell away from the devil and released us. He unlocked the door. But he died. He was really dead. The events on the cross. Did anybody see the Bible yesterday? We watched it from 2 p.m. until 8 p.m. Until 10 o'clock. It was really 8 hours. It was fantastic. But it was so dramatic about his death. He really died. He was completely dead. He was as dead as any person could be. He himself walked that dark valley of death by himself. And then released it for us. It says in the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Well, the Lord Almighty promises to be with us, to be our companion right to the very end. For 4,000 years ago, Job asked this question. If a man dies, will he live again? That's a great question. Death is sobering, frightening, terrifying, sad, gut-wrenching when we lose somebody. We know. No wonder the Bible calls death the last enemy. How will it be with us when we go through the valley of the shadow of death? I hope it'll be joyful. I know many of our people know the gift of death. And they have seen people in our congregation go through death joyfully. Consider a moment. The sting of death is sin. And how do you take consider a bee. How does a bee die? A bee stings you, and then he dies. That's what happens to a bee. That's what happened to Christ. He died and took on the sins of us. Death for us is no longer a curse, but death is a blessing. People ask, well, okay, if I die, am I going to be in the same body? Yeah, you'll be in the same body, but it'll be glorified, which is a good news for most of us. Our lives will be immortal, incorruptible, and perfect. Today we have 5 senses, but then maybe we'll have 500 or 5,000 or a million senses. You know, the scientists tell us that the body constantly regenerates itself as old cells disappear. About a million a minute are supposed to be going away. And they say every 7 or 8 years we have a new body. For me, I've gone through 10 bodies, I guess. But I still have some of the old scars from when I was a kid. But the body changes completely, but the spirit stays. See, that's the important thing. The body changes, but the spirit stays. Now, if God can do that work for us on earth, let's think of what the glorified body is going to be all about. How will he do it? How will God do this? Well, I don't know. And that's one of the marvels of the resurrection. I don't want a God that I can understand everything because God is so far above me. And then how will we know each other in heaven? Will we know each other? Will I know Dan? And will I know Dr. Nuss? Will I know Karen or whoever might be here, or Tom? Well, yes, you will. But we will not know the answer, because we read in the Bible that Peter and John knew Moses and Elijah, and on the Mount of Transfiguration they knew them. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, now we look through a glass darkly. We don't see very well. But then, face to face, such is the mystery and the wonder of the resurrection. We'll be raised, restored, recognized, and we will be rested. Wouldn't that be nice to be rested forever? Many people towards the end of our lives say, you know, at the end of the day, I am so tired. Everything about the world is exhausting. Romans 8 says, whole creation is in bondage to decay and groans while waiting for the day of redemption. God, in his mercy, gives us rest at last. We're raised in perfect health and good spirits. What a great thing to look forward to. As we arrive in heaven, and we'll be recognition. We will be able to recognize everybody. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Hi, brother who passed ahead of me. Hello, ex-husband, ex-wife. But it'll be great, because everything will be resolved. Everything will be cleared. And so we'll be with the God. Cold's gone. Flu disappeared. Cancer vanished. Stroke's a distant memory. Paralyzed limbs will leap once more. All those spare parts will be gone. There are lots of spare parts out there. The deaf will hear. The blind will see. And the mute will speak. Broken bodies will be made whole. And we will be glorified not only in our bodies but in our spirit, because that'll be the biggest change. Death means going from the land of the dying, because once you're born, you go through the process of dying. Death is the process of going into the land of the living. If a man dies, will he live again? Yes. Yes and yes. All of us will face death sometimes, but for those who know Jesus and who have put their life in his hands, death holds no fear. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I don't care what tomorrow brings. I'm not afraid of the darkness, because Jesus is the light of the world. He represents, as the sermon title goes, the death of death. Jesus is our guide. He will be with us in that shadow, in the valley of the shadow of death. Are you trusting the man who rose from the dead? Jesus is alive, standing with open arms, waiting for all of you, those who have not, and those who have not accepted him, do so. Because it'll make a difference in your life. Those whose lives are filled with the risen Christ, is a time for rejoicing. What a great time for rejoicing. I told Betty, I said, if I die ahead of you, which I probably will, she can't stop her. I said to Betty, if you have a morbid service after I die, I'll come back and haunt you. Because I want joy. I want happiness. I want just knowing that that's the greatest thing that could happen to me. The glorious day will never end. The death of death. It is. Can we earn it? Can we do something to get it? Can we line up a bunch of tasks and say, I've got all my tasks done. No, you can't. Because it's a gift that God gives us. God has taken the worst of mankind and given them the gift. Listen to these people. Listen to these people. Abraham, a pagan, living in the town of Ur. At God's word, he took up his family, his flocks, and went 1,500 miles to Cana to become the father of many nations. He wants you. He wants you too. King David was a murderer and an adulterer. But the line of Jesse was where Jesus was born. But God also said about King David, he's a man after his own heart. God wants you. Saul of Tarsus, who later became St. Paul, was a persecutor and murderer of Christians, starting with the first Christian martyr, Stephen, who was stoned to death at Saul's word. But then on the road to Damascus, Saul was blinded and captured by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus came to him and said, you're going to be the greatest evangelist that ever lived. And he was. And God wants you. God wants you in his kingdom. He wants you to do his work. There's no way to earn it. It's a gift. It's a gift of power. Our congregation has a tremendous gift of power. All of our super seniors are here. I do fantastic work. They're unbelievable. Well, how do you do it? What do? Well, you confess that Jesus is your Lord. But that's not the end. You just don't say, Jesus is my Lord. Then you begin to do his work and give a life in his name. Become a servant to those around you. It's not easy, but it'll be worth it. Amen. Let us confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.